Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John, we'll read the first four verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Seems like such a small thing to say to the great God of the universe. Today, dozens and dozens of people flooded these altars and trusted you, and their eternities were changed because of the people in this room and because of what you have done for us. And yet, through all those blessings, we're still needy. Lord, you've given us such a wonderful church, a great spirit. We've laughed together. We've sung together. We've read your word together. Now our preacher gets to preach to us so that we can have the Holy Spirit work on our hearts too. Father, please, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I want to talk to you about this. I gave you the title of the sermon this morning. I call it My Wish List. My Wish List. Here in 3 John, we see John is writing to a man named Gaius. John loved this man. He said, I love you in the truth. And it was a godly love that John had for this man. Evidently, this man named Gaius was a spiritual man. The Bible says that John, though, here makes a wish. He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. See, what happened is this. Gaius was a sick person. He evidently did not have good physical health. And John said, I wish that your physical health was as good as your spiritual health. Now, I would not recommend that some of you wish that, because you'd suddenly be deranged. Because the truth is, so many of us are so strong physically, but we are not healthy spiritually, and we're more concerned about the physical than we are the spiritual. But in this case, John makes a wish. John wishes. Now, what does it mean? Well, it means it's my heart's desire that this happen. Many times in the Bible, the word wish is used where someone's heart's desire was made known. In Job 33, verse number 6, the Bible says, Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. In Psalm 73, verse number 3, the Bible says, They have more than heart could wish. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 9, it says, For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish even your perfection. The word wish is used over and over again. Somebody wished something for another. Acts 27:29, it says, We wished for the day. Romans chapter 9, verse number 3, it says, For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. We all wish things from time to time. We have desires in our heart. Oh, you know, there's a little tradition when you're having a birthday and you blow out the candles. And when the candles are blown out, what do we say? Make a wish. Make a wish. When a star falls from the sky, there are people that when they see a falling star, they say, make a wish. I wish I may. I wish I might have this my wish come true tonight. We've seen a star fall. Then there are wishing wells. You wish something. Now, I don't believe there's any credence in a wishing well, but I am saying to you, the Bible talks about wishes, having a heart's desire for something, wishing something could come true. Maybe you have a wish list of some things that you'd like to see. I wish all of us would have some spiritual wish lists about what we would like to see happen with our husbands or our wives or in our families or in our ministries. Well, tonight, I'm going to share with you my wish list for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It's near Christmas time. I'm sure that we're all going to have some wish lists. But I have a wish list for our church. John loved this man named Gaius, so he wished something for him. And I love you, and I wish some things for you and for our church. Here's the thing. I already know that my wishes are not going to come true. I've already accepted that, but you listen as you hear my wish list. For instance, I wish that everybody would like our old-time religion church. I wish that everybody liked our old-time religion church. But I hate to tell you, that wish is not going to come true. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 and 22, it says, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." John 15, 18 says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Folks, I wish that everybody loved the old time religion. I wish that everybody that would come here would enjoy an old time religion church that I just have to tell you, they never have all enjoyed it. It's not been traditional in years going by, and it's not going to happen today. But it's what I wish. I wish they did. You know, it was the religious people that crucified Jesus. You know something? Here's what I wish. I wish your family enjoyed the old-time religion like you do. I wish that. And I know you wish it. You see, I just wish my family enjoyed the church like I enjoy it. I'm sorry, not all of them are going to. I wish your neighbors enjoyed the old-time religion like you do. I wish the people down at work that come here and visit, I wish they would all enjoy the church like we do. I wish your friends enjoyed the old-time religion like you do. I wish the world would love the old-time religion. But I have to tell you, they don't. They don't. But just so you know, I wish they did. If you're saying, "Boy, Brother Owens, I just wish my family would enjoy the old-time religion," so do I. So do I. I wish other churches would love the old-time religion, but they're not going to like our stand on truth, especially when they're not taking a stand on truth. But I wish they did. I wish they liked it. I wish our family did, and our neighbors did, and our workmates, and our friends, and I wish the community. But I have to tell you right now, I've already got a hunch that my wish that everybody liked this, I don't think my wish is going to come true. And maybe it would help you to know the reality while I'm wishing. I know you were wishing too. Hey, let's keep wishing though. I want to keep wishing that, but I just know that not everybody is going to enjoy an old-time religion church. Secondly, I wish the devil would leave us alone. I wish he would. I wish he'd leave us alone. The Bible says though in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now understand something. It says he is walking about like a sentry. He is walking about looking to get us. He's marching about the property. He's like a roaring lion. He's coming after us. Now, just so you know, I'm not glad he's coming. I wish he wasn't doing that. I wish the devil would just leave us alone. But believe me, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we are his target. We're his target. I guess, I think you already know, and if you don't, you need to know. I got a hunch the devil's pretty ticked off about the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Now, I wish the devil would leave us alone, but I've got to tell you the truth. I don't think my wish is going to come true. He wants to hurt us. He wants to hurt the unity in our church, but I wish he didn't. He wants to hurt the reputation of our church. I wish he didn't. But he wants to hurt our church financially. I wish he didn't. He wants to hurt us numerically. I wish he didn't. But the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Understand what that means. Hell has gates. And the gates of hell are not prevailing against the church. That means the church is attacking the gates of hell. And those that are really attacking, and we're tearing down the gates of hell and snatching people out of hell, I'm going to guess the king of hell is going to be upset that we're tearing down the gates of his castle. I wish he'd leave us alone, but I just have to tell you, my wish is not going to come true. My wish is not going to come true. You know, fundamental Baptists have never had all the peace that they wish that they would have in their church because we have an enemy. Now, my wish is that the devil would just leave us alone. I'm not walking around with my fists up saying, come on, devil, come and get me. I don't have to. He's coming anyway, so you just be ready. Our wish is that he'd leave us alone. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if the devil just leave us alone? But just so you know, our wish may not come true. He's never left alone, red-hot soul-winning churches in history. Why should we be the exception? I just wish that everybody would like our old-time religion church. I wish the devil would leave us alone. Thirdly, I wish none of our people would forsake our church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas was a saved man. He was working with Paul at this time during a revival time in Paul's life. But Demas, the Bible says, forsook Paul and forsook the work of God. I wish none of our people would leave our church. I wish none of them would forsake us. But I have to tell you, we're probably going to lose somebody somewhere along the way. 1 John 2:19 says this, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Listen, I have to tell you, it is my wish that we not lose one single person. You know what? Even if you're living in filthy, dark, nasty sin, I still want to help you, and I still love you, and I want you to hang around. But I'll tell you something, the devil, he gets involved. He's out to get us. He's going to get somebody. I hate that. Don't let it be you. And we're not talking, Demas, I believe Demas was probably a very good Christian man. But somehow Demas got contrary. Listen to me now. I wish we would not lose one person from this church. But if my wish doesn't come true, the rest of us have to keep on going for God. It might even shock you who we lose. And so, you know, I don't know that we're losing anybody. I do not know of one person that is leaving our church. As far as I know, everybody in our church is as happy as they can be. They're locked in. They've got their roots sunk deep. And I believe that. I don't know anybody that's contrary. I don't know anybody that's causing a lick of problems. We've got so much peace. We've got so much unity around here. It's incredible. This is not a something's broken, I think I'll fix it sermon. This is a, hey, it could happen. It could happen sermon. It's called a preventive maintenance sermon. And I want your heart to be ready. Hey, let's not start examining each other and worry about who's going to leave. Because I don't know anybody that's going to leave us in a contrary way. But let me tell you, if somebody does, I guess we could say, the preacher said we might lose a few. We'll love them. We don't want to lose them. But just in case. And hey, there's no way to know who. I've watched some of the most important people in churches get contrary, the devil get involved in that thing, and they lead, and they hurt the church. I don't know of anybody that's going to do that, but if it ever happens, the rest of us better unify. We better stick in there and keep running those buses. Let's not let the devil get us down. My wish is nobody would forsake us, but if my wish does not come true, I just thought you should know. I do have a wish list, though. Number four, I wish everybody understood us. I wish they did. Oh, how my heart hurts when people misunderstand the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and old-time Christians. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it speaks of people that are spiritually discerned. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there are going to be people that do not understand the purpose behind purity, and people that do not understand old-time religion, and people that do not understand the truths of the Bible. Listen, lost people don't understand holy living. They don't understand it. They don't understand that at all. But I wish they did, don't you? I wish the people that came here could understand why we preach against sin. I wish they would understand why we believe they should be holy, and I wish they would understand. But I have to tell you, my desire is that they all understand, but I don't think my wish is going to come true. I don't think we're going to get them all to understand. Carnal people don't understand separation from the world. You find somebody that's locked into a worldly lifestyle, when you get up and preach against it being worldly and separating from the world, they're not going to understand. And if they do, they're not going to submit. Confused people don't understand pure doctrine. They don't understand. People that have alienated themselves from the life of God, they don't understand. And listen to this. I was up in Canada this week preaching for one of our missionaries. And as I was preaching, we were at an old church out in the country. It was just packed full of people. And I stood up and I preached. And I said, folks, I gotta make sure you understand something. If people look at you and you're living holy, and if people look at you and you're living separate from the world, if people look at you and they begin to look down on you because you're excited about God and you're excited about the things of God and you live different than the world and you live different than most religious so-called people, let me make sure you understand something. You're not the weird one. They're the weird ones. We're the normal ones. We're the normal ones, not them, not the people in the world, not the ones in the liberal churches. I am not going to be intimidated by a bunch of church-playing liberals. You're not going to intimidate you. You're not going to make me feel bad about the old-time religion. You're not going to make me feel bad about the way we dress or the way we act or the people we listen to or the music we listen to. I am not intimidated. You're the one that's weird, not me. You'll figure that out when you get to heaven. Yeah, you will. You'll get there and say, oop, outnumbered. Down here, you might say, well, look at everybody else. I mean, this church is different than everybody else. Yes, you're right. And when we get to heaven, we won't be different than everybody else. You watch. You'll see. But I wish everybody understood. I wish they did. We hate sin, but we love people. Somehow they have a hard time understanding that. Sure, I'll get up here and I'll thunder aloud and I'll preach against sin and I'll preach hell hot and I'll tell the truth. But I'll guarantee you, we'll love you. We'll love you. We preach against sin because of what it does to people. We're not out to attack people because of their sin. We're out to attack the devil and attack sin because what it does to the people that we love. But the world looks at that and says, oh, you're just hateful. They say you're hateful because we hate sin. They don't understand. They don't understand. I have a wish list. I have a wish list. And it is my wish that they would all understand. I have a wish list. I wish that everybody would like our old-time religion church. I have a wish. I wish that the devil would leave us alone. I have a wish. I wish none of our people would forsake us. I have a wish. I wish everybody understood us. I have a wish. I wish the building of an old-time religion church in this day and age was easy. I wish it was. I wish it was. I wish it was easy to build a church for God, a holy church, in this day and age. But I have to tell you, I don't think my wish is going to come true. I don't think it's going to be easy. 2 Corinthians 11:23, the Bible says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, Paul said. I labor, and I labor abundantly. What's that mean? Paul was saying, if you're going to make an impact, if you're going to fulfill your potential, if you're going to do everything God created you to do, you're going to have abundant investment, abundant labor, abundant sacrifice. God bless his hard work. Somebody must abundantly labor if this church is going to fulfill its potential. And I just so you know, I don't think we're anywhere near fulfilling our potential. Nowhere near it. I think we're just about to take off. You say, what? I think we're on the threshold of something big. You said, what, bigger? Oh, the sky's the limit with God. God's just looking for a group of people that are dedicated to the old time ways that will abundantly labor. I wish building this ministry were going to be easy. I wish it. I wish it for those that are tired. I wish it for those that already work hard. I wish that we did not have hard work ahead of us. But I have to tell you, I really don't think that wish will come true. Because if we don't work hard, we will not fulfill our potential. We will not do what God wants us to do. You know, I need a bunch of people that will step up and become role models and become adult bus workers and bus captains. It'll be hard. It's going to be some time of sacrifice. I need some adults that say, you know something, I need to get involved in that bus ministry. If you came to a bus meeting, we've got a good group of adults in there, but you stop and look at the teenagers of this church, they pack out that bus meeting. You heard the spirit of those young people? You can thank God we've got a crop of young people around here that are fired up for God. I'm glad they're not out boozing it and rock and rolling it and sleeping like a bunch of whoremongers with each other, but there's a group of young people that love God and they're dedicated and they're willing to work hard for God. Thank God for it. But I've got to have leadership. I've got to have some people who say, you know what? I'm going to step up and do it. I'm an adult, and I'm going to get in that bus ministry. Now, not just anybody can join. There are some stipulations. You got to live clean and be separate from the world. But I need some of you to come out of yourself and separate from the world so I can use you in leadership around here. I wish it would be easy. I do. I wish it would be easy, but listen to me, folks. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. The reason why there are not a lot of churches on fire for God, because I want to tell you one of the crucial and essential parts of having a church on fire for God. It's called W-O-R-K. We don't make up excuses. It's hard. All right, then it's hard. Then let's do what's hard. Let's get some spiritual blisters on our hands. Let's sweat some spiritual sweat. Let's dig in. Let's make something happen. Let's build something up or tear something down. Let's do something for God. That sounds like it might be work, right? It's called the work of the Lord. I can't find any place in the Bible where it's called the play of the Lord. The work of the Lord. We need some people willing just to do the dirty work. Which I don't think there really is any dirty work in the service of the Lord, but we need some people that don't have to have fame. There are those that you went and you asked them to do something for God if the position is not lofty enough. Well, if I can't get the right attention, well, maybe there's a reason why you're not getting that attention. Maybe there's an arrogance there that you're too good to get your hands dirty for the Lord. Hey, don't you just give me some laborer blisters on your spiritual hands. We need role models to do the work of God. But here's what I wish. I wish building a ministry would be easy. Won't be long, I will celebrate my 30th year of being a preacher. Now, I'm not as old as what you might think. I don't look as old as my hair makes you think. This next birthday, I'll be 46. I married my wife. She's going to be 26. When we got married, she was 1 and I was 21. But I'm not as old as my hair makes it look. But let me tell you something. I've been at this almost 30 years. I can tell you, it's just plain old-fashioned hard work. Hard work. Hard work. It's spiritual work. I wish it would be easy. I'm sorry. My wish will not come true. It's just not going to be easy. Hey, I have another wish. I wish that we would not be scrutinized by the world and other churches. I wish we wouldn't. Matthew 5:14 says this, though. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You're going to be scrutinized by the world. When you say you're truly born again and you truly serve the living God, you just put yourself up on top of a hill where everybody can see you. But let me tell you something else. Here it says that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. And just so you understand, a church on a hill can't be hid either. Oh my, oh my, oh my. I just have to tell you, as our church grows, the more people hear about it, the more the critics are going to watch us. They're going to scrutinize us. They're going to watch every move. I guess you probably even need to know there are people that don't want me to succeed. There are people out there that would rather I fail. Me personally. It's not your fault. They'd just rather I fail. Now, there's one wish that's going to come true. We're not planning on failing. So, with God's help and God's mercy and God's grace. But I'll tell you something. I just wish the world would not scrutinize this. But let me warn you, every one of you, let me tell you what's going to happen. There are going to be people that will criticize our church, and it's none of their stinking business. But it doesn't matter. Now, I'm glad to tell them that. I have no problem telling them that. You know my shy personality. This is our church, and it's really none of their business what goes on around here. But we will bring on a little of the scrutinization because we have like the East Coast Ladies Conference. So if other churches come here to participate in what we do, they're going to check us out. This last year, nearly 1,200 came to that conference. 104 different churches. Now, when you got 104 churches coming to your property, they're going to check up on us. Some will walk away and criticize us. I wish they would not scrutinize us, but they will. You take the conferences that we have started called Old Paths. You know what? We just set ourselves on a hill. Because we're saying we believe in the old time ways. So everybody out there is going to watch and say, well, let's find out if you really do believe in the old time way. We're going to find out. We're going to watch every move you make and every song that's sung and every person that's put in leadership. We're going to figure out if you really believe the old time way or if you just say you do. They will scrutinize us. My travels. There are just a whole lot of people that know me. They're going to watch us. I apologize to you. You must be associated with me. I'm your pastor. There's no way around that you're going to be associated with me. And I happen to be known for an old-fashioned hellfire brimstone, knocked down, drag out, spit in your eye, not be bullied kind of a Baptist preacher. I've told people through the years, I'm not changing. I know what I am. I know where I came from, and I'm not changing. And there are people that just flat out don't like that, and they watch me like a hawk. I get criticized, Brother Young. I know you find that hard to believe. There are people that talk about me. Now, they're wrong, because to know me is to love me. We're going to get scrutinized. Listen, folks, this morning, 960 people in Sunday school. Over 1,000 people in church, 36 people walk this aisle trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning. Now, let me tell you something. They're going to people hear about that, and they're going to say, no way. Now, did you see it? I know I saw it. I was here. But there are going to be people out there. You got a bunch of deadbeat Baptists out there saying, oh, it can't be done. There ain't no way. And he's exaggerating. No, I've not told the whole story because I know you lunkheads would never believe it. All you want to believe is the trash that you choose to believe. So I'm not going to tell you the whole story of everything that's happened. You just have to come see it. But you get a church and God exalts a church. Man can't. But if God exalts a church, and you start seeing people saved, and you see revival, and you start, hey, it starts spreading everywhere, we will be scrutinized. You have an amazing revival of growth like we've had. It draws attention. And so, some will shoot at us. Because we're an easy target. There will be blessings. There's added blessings when you have a church that's on fire for God. And there are some bumps along the way. I just want you to know, it will happen. It will happen. My wish is they would not scrutinize us. But my wish is not going to come true. And I already know that. I have a wish list. And so you know, I really do wish these things. I wish them for you. I wish them for all of us, to my staff. I wish we wouldn't be scrutinized. But then I don't want anybody to scrutinize you. That's my friend. He's sincere, and I know it. And I don't want people watching him like a hawk. He's a human being. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Nash, they will. Brother Bajan, they're going to watch you. They're going to watch you. I'm just telling you. Now, I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't going to be that way. But my wish is not going to come true. I wish that everybody that came to our church enjoyed an old-time religion church. I wish the devil would leave us alone. I wish that none of our people would forsake us. I wish that everybody would understand us, and I wish that building this ministry would be easy and we could coast a little bit. I wish that we would not be scrutinized by the world. We've got some men in our church that are evangelists. Brother Heidenreich, Brother Domley, Brother Hawkins. Fellas, I'm sorry. You're going to be associated with me. I'm sorry. You will have somebody that's going to criticize you because I'm your pastor. I'll tell you what else. Because I know what these men stand for, they too will be criticized.
Right.
You have men that travel the country and they're evangelists and they stand for the old-time way. They're going to ruffle somebody's feathers along the way. Now, these men love God and they're sincere men and they've got the right balance. They hate sin, but they love people. But I'm just telling you, we're going to be scrutinized. We're going to be watched. But I wish we wouldn't be. I really do wish that. I wish that revival wouldn't cost us financially. I really do. But Psalm 45, verse number 6, the Bible says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I wish that God would send a good fairy down here and give us all the money that we need so we would never have to raise any money. But I have to tell you, folks, we're getting to the point where your preacher's not real sure how we're going to raise the money. Because I don't build anything unless I have money. I don't change things unless I have money. But it's getting bigger. Y'all understand, it won't be long until we'll have to build something because we've got people crammed in every nook and corner. Look at this building tonight. I mean, human beings can only stand being so close to each other. I mean, right now you smell the body odor of someone you don't even know. And I know you love God, but a man's nostrils can only take so much. And we tore wall down and expanded and bought pews and more chairs. I'm not frustrated. I'm just saying, I wish that a church could grow and keep growing like ours does, and that there would just be this abundance of money and it would always just come in. And so far, thank God, it has. But there may come a day when we've got to figure out what to do financially. We have done hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work around this church in the last 3.5 years, and you've seen it. And you know there's been no financial pressure. Well, you've not had financial pressure. You just ask any of the men that ever pastored here, when you have 37 people that work at your church and on your staff, there is some responsibility in paying salaries and paying light bills. I know churches that do all sorts of things to raise money. We've not had one double tithe Sunday. We've not had one give it all Sunday. We've had no stewardship drive. We've not sold any bonds to increase our property. There's been not one single day of high pressure money raising. None. Now, I have to tell you, it is my wish that God just provides. Look, when I look into your faces, I know you. I know you don't have a bunch of money. I know that. I know your finances. I know the property values in this area are soaring, but it seems like the income and what we're paid is not moving up with the property values, and it's getting tough. I counsel you. I know you don't have a lot of money. I know you struggle to keep your kids in the Christian school, and thank God for you, and God bless you. And I know that. So my wish is that we can continue to expand and accommodate all the people that are coming to our church. And my wish is that we'd never have to sacrifice financially. But I just have to tell you, there's coming a day when there's going to have to be some sacrificing. I hope it's 10 years from now or 5 years from now. But I do need to be honest with you. There may come a day when I'll have to come and say, folks, the only way we can go forward is raise enough money to go forward. I think it would be a sad day if we could not raise that money with what God has done around here. But let's prepare our hearts. And let me just give you a little advice. I wish some of you would really get serious about fixing some of your finances. You ought to get your finances under control just so when the day comes for our church to move forward and we need you to give a little extra, you could. You're looking at a guy, if you come and ask me and you got a financial mess, I'll tell you, you give your tithe, but I'm not going to ask you to give anything else because it'd be dumb for you to do, but I wish I wouldn't have to tell half the congregation they can't give because their finances are a mess. Get your finances straightened up so when the day comes that we need to sacrifice, that we can actually do it. But I wish we wouldn't have to sacrifice financially. Let me say this, and I'm finished. I have many other wishes on my wish list, but this is the last one I'll give you tonight. I wish that we would never have to suffer a battle or an attack here at our church. Now, I know of no battle or attack. I don't think somebody's about to launch an attack. I don't think we're about to go through a battle. I'm sorry, that's just not the case. I mean, it's almost scary. It's just so good. We're having so much fun. We're enjoying the spirit of revival. It's incredible. But I don't see how we're going to get out of it without a battle. You look at every great Christian in history, they had battles. You look at every church that God used in a supernatural way, they were attacked. They had battles. Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. In other words, that horse had to be prepared and it was ready to go to battle. It had to be trained. I wish that God didn't have to call it the Lord's army. But that's what you're in. Choir, you're in the Lord's army's choir. You sing in the Lord's army. Bus captains, you're driving our tanks. And a couple of you drive like you're driving a tank. Nursery workers, you know quite well we're in a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a war zone. I wish we did not have to go through battles. I wish we did not have to go through attacks. I wish that it was not a spiritual war. But I'm sorry, I don't think my wish will come true. The Bible is a sword. We're to take up the shield of faith and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and Jesus is our mighty captain. I don't think my wish will come true because we have been told that we're in a war. I don't want some evil person to turn on our church and cause trouble. Oh, I wish that does not happen. I've seen it happen, though. Seen it happen in church after church. I don't want some power-hungry official in this town to oppose everything that we do at our church. Just so you know, I've seen it happen. I have seen it happen. I don't want some preacher across the country to decide to launch an attack specifically on our church. But how many of you have ever seen a preacher just flat out launch an attack on church? Raise your hand. Absolutely. They're out there. They do it. They just get upset about something, and many times it's jealousy, people pulling for position. They actually launched an attack. Now, I don't know of one person in America that's out to attack us. Not one. I really don't. To be very honest with you, the people across the country, everybody I talk to says, Brother Lawrence, I'll tell you what, we're excited about what God's doing at your church, and I'm glad they feel that way. But I don't think we'll get out of this thing without being attacked. Somewhere along the way, there's going to be a battle. Thank God we have a great relationship with the local press, and I want to keep a good relationship with the press. I do not mind they come around and take pictures and they see the good things that are going on. I don't mind that. I'm glad when they come around. But I've watched the press over and over and over again turn on people and make a mess out of things. The press are not conservatives, just so you know. Hey, thank God we've got a good relationship with them. We have friends at the newspaper, and they love us, and thank God for it. Thank God for it. We get good coverage. If you've been around any time at all, that coverage can change overnight. They can take something and blow it into something that it is not. I don't want that battle. I don't. I am not looking for a war. You ever heard old Dr. Lester Roloff? Boy, what a tiger. Brother Roloff, he almost looked for a fight. If he wasn't in a fight, he started one. John R. Rice was the same way. Man, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. I don't want to fight. Now, I wouldn't pick a fight with me, though, because I got quite a bit stored up in here. But I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight the press. I don't want to fight the churches across town. I don't want to fight some other fundamental Baptist. I don't want to fight some college. I don't. I don't want to fight the people that you know that don't like us. I don't want to fight them. I am going to fight the devil. I am going to fight heresy. I am going to fight hell with everything I'm made of. But they misunderstand us. They don't really know what it's all about. And I wish so many things. I wish they'd like our old-time religion church. I wish the devil would leave us alone. I wish none of our people would forsake this cause. I wish everybody would understand us and the building of this work would be easy. And I wish that we now set on a hill where everybody can see us would not be scrutinized. And I wish that it would not cost us something financially. And I wish we had no battles. And I wish we had no attacks. But I have got a feeling that my wish will not come true. But I have one wish I know it can come true. No matter what else happens, I wish that God would see us through whatever we must go through to have an old-time revival in an old-time church. And that wish is going to come true. God will see us through. We can wish for a lot of other things that we may not get, but if we'll all wish together that no matter what the devil brings our way, we're going to keep on serving God and God will help us to make it through it. That wish, I believe, will come true. If you're here this evening, I wish that you'd be saved if you've never been saved. That wish could come true. That wish could come true. So if you're not saved, I hope you'll be saved this evening. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.